Hello, and welcome to Kids Get Acquainted with the Internet, a Girl Meets World podcast. I'm Dan.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Peaches. And today's special hiatus episode is entitled...
Kids Meet Survey.
Yeah.
Aw, yeah.
So, as you may have seen from @GMWPodcast, our Twitter, we have been doing this here survey thing for like 2 weeks, and we keep tweeting about it, annoying you, and it's paid off.
And, how many people responded to it?
Did we actually want to say that? I was just going to make it seem like we were super big and popular.
I was going to say, like, you guys could do better next time.
Sure. You guys can do better next time.
Seven.
No, we actually got...
It was a better sample size than that.
I'm actually very happy with the sample size. It was very substantial. And it provided good results.
Like a true politician.
Yes. No, it was good, guys, and so
you
I feel like...
You didn't even have to go to school for this.
I mean, I was a little worried when we first did it, like, we get, like, 20 people or something, and it just basically be like, these two people liked this, it wins.
So for you listeners playing on at home, it's more than 20, but Dan won't tell you how much more.
Less than 1,000.
Ooh.
Ooh, okay, so starting...
Let's get into the results, shall we?
So the first question on our... So this whole idea was to, now we're done with season one, sort of survey our listeners.
Isn't it
Twitter
crazy?
Followers.
We're done with season one.
Yeah.
It felt like it would never end.
And yet the break has been real short because we're getting ready to start right up on back again.
Yeah.
Into premiere week.
Well, it was funny. So now we're in season two and I was tweeting the other day. I was like, I can't believe we've been doing this for a year. But at season two, we haven't been doing it for a year. We've been doing it for 10 months.
Yeah, it'll be...
I think July is when we started.
I don't know. Someone let us know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was July. Either July or late June.
Late June?
It would have to have been after.
I can answer this question really quickly by looking at the podcast.
Any hoses?
Please do that because it's bothering me. Right.
I'm pretty sure it's July.
I thought it was August.
I'm going to say July 8th. Now I'm going to look. Let's see. You guys are riveted. This is like the most exciting thing. July 9th.
And this is why editing is
so July 9th.
It's July 9th.
Well, that's when we posted the first one and it went on iTunes, which means that we actually probably did it significantly before, like it probably was near the end of June. Because when the pilot came out like way ahead of time. Remember we saw like they released
it
early.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, fun little trip for you guys.
All right, let's go.
So yeah, so now we're done. We wanted to see what you guys thought of the season. So we have these questions.
Yep,
because
we've been talking a lot about it. And we want to see how everyone else feels because
we love you and we care about you.
We want to know if you're smart. So first,
and you've been listening.
So first question.
Have you been paying attention?
Let's find out.
So our first question on the docket is: what is the best performance by a main cast member? And in third place, we have Ben Savage with 5% of the votes. Ooh, sorry you didn't get more.
In second place is Rowan Blanchard with 27%.
Grape stain.
I don't think you have the final results on your thing, because she has 28%, according to mine.
27.55.
What? Why is yours say that and mine says 28? All right, whatever.
Because my phone can science.
Okay.
And the winner is... Okay.
Guys, it's Sabrina.
And the winner is Sabrina Carpenter with 62.24% of the vote.
Woo!
Congratulations, Sabrina.
Did you guys see that coming?
Ah.
Kinda, yeah.
Well, they voted, so... Did you guys vote for Sabrina or did you vote for Rowan?
Could you
more
vote
on
for
that later. Let's get to the next question before I answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Question number two. So the next question was favorite character. So we separated performance from character.
Yes.
Because character sort of combines performance and writing and all that stuff.
Yes.
But
and it's not all lying on the actor's abilities.
Yeah. So in third place, this one was a little bit more contentious. There was more divide here. But in third place...
The great divide.
We had Corey at 9%.
All of a sudden, we're a lot less excited about these results.
9%! And in second place...
In second place, we have Riley with 31.96%.
Ooh, and in first place...
If we can guess... And if history tells us that everything is correct, Maya is the winner with 45.36% of the vote.
Yeah, so when I say there's a more of a divide here, is just that some of the other characters got some a little, took away a little bit of it, but they got like 2% and 5%. Mm-hmm. Whereas so like Maya really Sabrina really dominated the performance one, but Maya still won, but didn't dominate it quite as much.
Now, to answer your question,
yeah,
pretty sure what I did was I voted character
mm-hmm.
of Maya.
Yeah.
Because she's got more to deal with.
Yeah.
But as far as actress, I'm pretty sure I voted for Rowan. Because yeah. I really like the way she delivers. I think they just haven't given her enough chance to do that.
It's interesting. I'm trying to remember. I think I did the same thing you did. Mostly because I think Rowan did a very good job. And that I didn't think... I correctly guessed that not that many people would vote for her over Sabrina. And I think that she deserves the accolades. I do actually think, if I was going to, like, be serious about it, that Sabrina probably did have a better performance in this season because she was given more to do and therefore had more range. Because she...
That's true.
The thing is, Rowan didn't... She was really funny and really came into her own, especially in something like Demolition, but she hasn't been given that much drama.
And I think that's what it is. For my side of it was, because of the agency problems that we've been noticing... Yeah. That is what kept the character of Riley from being the best character for me.
Yeah.
Because she's so inconsistent into really what her role in the show is.
Yeah.
And she has these sort of merits that are attributed to her as a character. We don't usually get to see them acted out.
Yeah.
I actually voted for Sabrina and Maya.
Yeah.
But as far as best performance go, that was actually a really hard decision for me, but I did end up going with Sabrina.
Yeah. Well, I think also if you look at, like, for me, it was very clearly Sabrina for the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, it becomes a little hairier. And I really hope people don't think I think that Sabrina's performance went down. I just think that Rowan kind of rose to meet her in a way. So...
And, you know, you can't blame a girl for trying. So...
Oh my. It was a seamless performance.
Yeah.
All right. Question three.
You know, if they keep this up, they're going to be the stars.
Wow.
I'm so done.
You just can't think of another song she did.
I actually have listened to most of the album.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I really like it. Yeah. Seamless is my favorite song.
Yeah, good.
Do we want to talk at all?
Very obvious reasons.
Do we want to talk at all about any of these other people who, you know, did or didn't get as much love?
So, I guess I'll pose the question. Is there anyone that did very poorly that you expected to do a lot better?
I kind of would have expected Corey or Ben to have got a little bit strong, like a little bit more of the audience on their side. Not that he did. I mean, obviously he was third place in both of them, but given the amount of Boy Meets World fans.
You mean?
Yeah.
The fact that it wasn't like 13%, it was like whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, performance, it was 62 versus 5%.
Yeah.
The other thing I do kind of wish that we didn't really ask for is sort of the demographics of the people answering these questions.
Oh, we're so dumb.
Because I do want to know, so like, how many of those people, are we getting so many Sabrina ones because we have more Girl Meets World specific fans? It doesn't come off that way, given some people's answers to other questions.
You want to know how many old white Republicans listen to our podcast?
Well, obviously.
Yes.
Who doesn't love an old white Republican?
If you're an old white Republican, please tweet in. Ask for Caitlin personally. We'll talk.
You have to actually be old. Like at least 70.
I was going to say at least 30.
All right. Less than 1,000, but more than 20. Caitlin's going to die. All right.
I will spit out my drink.
Also...
All right, are you ready for episode three? For question three?
Is everybody ready for episode three? Happy third subway ride!
Sneak attack,
happy third subway ride.
But moving on. Right. Favorite side character!
All right, so this one was a little wacky.
Choose all that apply.
Yeah, so we said choose all that apply. And the reason we did that was we were worried that if we said just choose your favorite side character, most people do Sean, and then we wouldn't know how much people liked other characters.
Right. But surprise, most people did do Sean.
Yes. Surprise! You just gave it with a winner. Well, so this one has so many questions, I don't think we should necessarily say, like, the
ranking. Yeah,
ranking.
We'll just go quickly down the list.
Yeah.
And not even...
So, Isadora Smackle got 16%. Sarah got 19%. Darby got 26%. Darby actually did pretty well for herself.
Hey,
yeah.
Darby!
Yeah, I mean, Evelyn Rand only got 33%, so that's not, like, way ahead of Darby, so...
Mm-hmm.
And she had a lot more lines.
That is true. You want to continue the list?
No, you should do the next one.
Oh, you want me to do
it?
Okay.
The next one. And then I'll continue.
Ava Morgenstern is 9%.
All right. And the next grouping, Katie Hart got 18.95%.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart Minkus got 13.68%.
Stuart.
Josh Matthews. Isn't it Joshua?
You're the one who did this question.
God, Caitlin.
Isn't it Joshua?
When God in the saw.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
What'd you say?
When God in the saw.
Oh. It is Josh Matthews got 55.79%.
It's really
harsh.
It's really throwing me off that mine are rounded up and yours are not.
Sean Hunter got 66.32%.
Mm-hmm.
Geraldine Thompson, the cafeteria lady from The Forgotten, mm-hmm. got 8.42%.
Harley Kiner came in at 27.37%. That's pretty significant.
Yeah. No, he was also even doing even better early. Because I've been following the results as they've been building up, and he was actually one of the best for a while.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit surprised by that, but yeah. Not, you know, dismayed. But
how many episodes has Harley been in? Two. He was in Flaws and
The Forgotten. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, he's already, like, in half as many episodes as Jennifer Budd has been in.
Well, the thing is, so... It's interesting, so like, well, as I was saying from the it's a kind of opposite of what I was saying last question, where I was like, all these Girl Meets World fans are voting for the Girl Meets World characters. Mm-hmm. Now, Sean is doing so well, and for a while, like eventually Joshua got up to, like, 50%, which means, like, at least half the people like him, but for a while, like, Harley was doing better than Josh, which I was pretty impressed by.
I'm not surprised by that, because mm-hmm. for me, especially at the beginning, Josh just was very lackluster in the way they introduced that character, but anyways... Mr. James Coach came in at 2.11%, which he was, for how he was featured, he was pretty funny.
That. Yeah,
I think that was an extremely effective character. Yeah. A very minor character, but very effective.
I would like to see him one more time.
This,
like,
next one is the best one.
Gammy Hart at 0.00%.
Wow.
Oh, and Gammy.
So, don't come back, please. I think the people have spoken.
And I agree, they didn't really use it that well at all.
Yeah, she could have been better.
Yeah. There was a lot... There was potential there that didn't live up. Pretty boy, hipster, top and bottom half.
I only like the bottom half.
Yeah. You would, wouldn't you?
Oh, this is the explicit podcast.
4.21%.
I don't know if we should keep that in.
No, that's the kind of joke that they'd have in Mermaid's World. That would be great.
So that's... I'm surprised anyone even voted for that at all.
I mean, Pretty Boy Hipster's fun. I think I might have voted
just in the title, you know, it's the title that's enticing. We got Ninth Grade Woman, which that's an enticing title, at 2.11%.
Enticing title.
Yeah.
This is getting weird.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, it's like,
stay away from the Ninth Grade Woman, Keith.
I'm saying
I'm going
to
take
we
over.
We have some listeners that are in Ninth Grade, Keith. We don't want them to be warned.
It has a fun sound to it.
Yes.
It's a joke.
Okay, ninth grade women have fun sounds.
All right, let's get through this question.
I'm sorry. The Librarian came in at 3.16%.
I'm surprised that anyone even remembers that character.
We almost forgot to write it down.
That was a horrible episode.
I don't know, actually completely.
Aubrey came in at 9.47%, which I'm actually really surprised
by. Yeah, that one's the most shocking to me.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like,
I'm done.
Like, multiple random extras did way better than Aubrey, who's a beloved other Disney Channel character and did a good job in this
episode. And people were very excited to see her. People really liked Demolition, so I'm very surprised by this number.
I mean, I voted for her.
I did too.
Did Keith vote for her?
She got my vote.
Because if if three of us voted for her, that means she did even worse than it says on here.
I don't think I did. I think I was...
More selective?
Yeah, I was sparing with mine. I didn't want to flood it.
I was not. Missy came in at 3.16%. Mrs. Savorsky, the bakery owner, came in at 8.42%. Sorry, 8.42%.
That's actually higher than I expected.
Yeah, that's higher than I'd expect, too.
I really don't think she was used all that well.
Yeah, I think Jim Coach was better.
Yeah, much better, because it was just enough. Well, I mean, honestly, it was effective. It drove the story forward. The quick one-liners were funny where they happened,
mm-hmm.
but Savorsky?
Yeah.
She You know, she kind of flooded the screen. It was a very much a cameo type thing. She was a famous actress. The role became about the fact that she was.
Yeah.
You know, you had
the obligatory... Yeah, so I mean, the question is, how many people voted for her because they liked the actress? It's possible that that is a thing.
How many people that listen to our podcast or would have taken the survey are really familiar with
Boy Meets World fans might be familiar with her. I mean, she still has current work. She's a working actress.
Yeah, but anyways, you know, those are the kind of scenes that... didn't push the story very much forward, and obviously because we're kind of dropping a lot of it, it was not very memorable.
Harrison Miller, Topanga's boss lawyer, came in at 5.26%.
Also known as Mozzie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as...
Leonard?
Something like that. Okay, so the art teacher got... I'm just going to try to speed through this ending.
Sorry.
Art teacher got 3%. Billy got 4%. So now these are the interesting ones. Alan and Amy... 24% and 19%.
In that order.
Yeah.
So that means that
sexism.
Well, also Amy's not performance. Amy's character in the one episode
made no sense.
Yeah, it was not as sort of.
And there were no others, which means that we either remembered everyone or no one took the time out.
Well, I also I think it's interesting to point out that Harley, Joshua, Darby, Evelyn, they all did better than Alan. So that's just an interesting. Thing to think about. That's another thing that might point that...
I know you feel differently, but I thought it's because they, as his parents came back, it was very kind of cameo-centric for me.
Yeah, but even that's true. Did you not vote for them?
I don't think I did.
Because I was also voting based on their general character.
But see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
This is not a Boy Meets World
poll. Yeah, that's true.
I think the people that voted for that are saying, oh, this is the Meets World universe poll.
Yeah.
But as far as a Girl Meets World poll... The characters didn't do much for the story. They weren't that funny. So, no, not...
Yeah. Amy, I get. Alan, even in Girl Meets World, I would... As a minor character, I would say I would have
put him in. So, would you say that James Coach was more or less effective than Alan on Girl Meets World?
I think that they're effective in different ways. James Coach was fun in a ridiculous, over-the-top way. Alan was... likable and more dramatic and more and funny in a different, more down-to-earth way. So I don't really feel like I can quantify which is better.
I think we have opposite biases here. I'm sort of biased because I know how good he is.
Yeah.
And how the parents just kind of fell short in that episode for me. I think you're biased by you're tacking on how good he is and carrying it with it.
I don't know that you're... I mean, I guess I can't say that I'm not, because I have watched all of Boy Meets World, so yeah, no matter what, I can't really take that out of my consciousness, but I do think that he was likable in that episode.
I can't remember if I voted for him or not, but actually those numbers don't really surprise me.
Yeah.
Now, letters, they shock and dismay me.
All right, and our next question is, favorite episode?
Okay, third place, Girl Meets First Date at 17%. Second place, Girl Meets...
Master Plan at 20.43%.
Wait, really? 24?
20.4.
Oh, okay, sorry. And I was like, wow, those numbers are very different than mine.
There was a last-minute influx.
And in first place, at a whopping 25%.
That is very significant.
Yeah, that's a fourth of the audience voted for that.
Girl Meets Home for the Holidays! Hi! Because of all the cameos.
I disagree. So, do we want to get into what are our favorite episodes, or do we want to hold that off for later?
Why don't we announce it at the end?
All right.
So it's not awkwardly in the middle.
All right, so then I'm just going to run through these episodes. So, first of all, going chronologically, the first thing that's surprising to me is that Father only has 3%.
Yeah, that does surprise me. I think it was a very successful episode when it aired, but I think that it got lost. There's so much kind of lackluster episodes in between when it started to pick up again. I think it kind of gets lost in people's
minds. Yeah, because people really liked that episode. On our Twitter, we had a lot of feedback about that episode and when we did the podcast.
Yeah. Well, even the writers themselves, I feel like at the time were like, this is our favorite. And then as time went on, they're like, this is our favorite.
This is... Come on.
Also, I mean, that's where a lot of things sparked for the Leia shippers.
Yeah. So, okay, the question I have, I think that obviously all three of the ones that did really well were in the second half. And I don't know what percentage of that is due to people going off memory and those being fresher in people's minds, and what percentage of it is that it actually got a lot better in the second half.
Honestly, I think that has a lot to do with it.
It's a combo, I think.
Yeah.
You know. I think it wasn't just that it was got better in the second half. It's that in the middle, we had a lot that kind of obscured and pushed out the merits of some of the things that were well.
So it's hard. I feel like I'd have to go back to Father to really know how it stacked up to some of these things.
I'm also surprised that 1961 didn't do better. It's only here at 4.3%. That was a very well-done episode, and it's very unique.
I actually don't really like that episode. I think visually and, like, costume-wise, it's good. But, like, I was excited. I had seen that in the promos. And then when I actually saw the episode, there wasn't a whole lot to it that, like, I didn't think it was that funny. I didn't think that it, like, the greater drama or message really did a whole lot for me.
What I like about that episode is I find it very immersive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Compared to some other episodes that came around the same time, I felt myself getting into it more and being kind of sucked into the screen a little bit more. Mm. It was more interesting to follow along when I see the characters interacting in more unpredictable ways.
Yeah. To me, what worked for that episode were two things. One was the gimmick, which I really do think it was a gimmick that didn't really go much beyond the gimmick, and the directing by Ryder Strong. So, to me, on paper, that episode is not that great. But he did bring it to life in a way that was visually appealing, and that I think I'd enjoy watching it again, but it was definitely not one of my favorite episodes.
Mm. Clutterbucket.
Nah, I mean, that's a good joke.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's nothing
in it. Oh, this is the greatest day of my life. Well, that's one of my favorite lines.
There are definitely good moments.
That was around the turn when we started having better Lucas in general, I think, also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was around, like,
came in at zero.
It was a good episode, but that being someone's favorite would be a little surprising.
I guess that's true.
It's everyone has positive feelings overall, but it doesn't stand out to anyone.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm also...
I'm not too surprised.
I mean, okay, so also, Holidays wasn't doing as well at the beginning.
I'm gonna talk about it later
because we're gonna do a sort of ranking of our favorite episodes later. I originally, when we did this thing, I voted for Holidays. I would no longer vote for Holidays, having thought about it more. So it's interesting because I voted for the thing that won, but now I don't agree with it. So,
you see the corruption of this man?
Intriguing. All right. So
Flip flopper. What is that, season two?
So,
yeah, that's Dances with Sweaters, right? That's around the same time, I think.
I'm a little surprised. I mean, obviously, First Date did well, got third place, but I'm a little surprised First Date and Demolition didn't do better than they did.
As far as how much of a breakaway it was.
Like, well, I actually thought Demolition would have more of the effect of we just saw it and it was really good.
We're excited about it still. Yeah.
So it came in at 12%, so it's not like it did badly. It did, you know, it was one of the higher up ones, but I did think Demolition would be a little bit stronger. And between the Sean getting so much love in the ratings as far as character, and then Master Plan and Home for the Holidays being the winners, again, how much is it that Boy Meets World fans just love Sean, and how much is it that
Girl Meets World
really fans really taking to him?
Ryder Strong is an attractive man. We've got a lot of young girls here.
Oh my. Perfect explanation. Alright, so this next one's a little
totally
harder.
Totally not superficial.
This next one's a little harder to evaluate, so we did ask for funniest moments and let people write in their funniest moments. So you guys just want to sort of scan through and read some of your ones that you think are interesting, because we can't read all of them.
Pollen in my eyes.
Same. They're like so ooey-gooey.
Ooey-gooey.
Anyways, so the first one here says Farkle in Girl Meets World is their funniest moment. We'll have to agree to disagree on that, but moving on.
When Corey... I don't think he isn't funny.
Is that a moment, though?
Nah, it's not really a moment.
Yeah, maybe Farkle moments.
Yeah.
Another one we have here says, when Corey calls Sean his favorite person in the world, and Topanga just his wife.
And we got a few people saying that one.
All right.
We also got a ton of people saying the when Sean meets meets Farkle and says Mink is reproduced. That was a big one.
Mm-hmm. That was a funny moment.
Guffaw.
What did you guys have any? What were your thoughts as far as this question went?
I'm trying to remember
when you sold the rest of your clothes.
Oops, I just
that was a good one.
I don't know if I wrote this, but the Lucas is a nerd. The Lucas nerd was pretty
doing
good.
The geeky noise thing. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty great.
That was just like, that was just the best curveball.
Yeah.
By far.
I mean, we had to pause the show when we did that because we're all dying.
What else?
I wrote here the most recent demolition bay window scene, but I don't really know if that is the funniest. It's just the most recent hilarious thing that's in my head.
Right.
I really liked in Maya's mother the dinner scene with the magic and all that stuff. I thought there were a lot of funny parts in that.
That was pretty good.
That was like one of the ones where I really was really laughing out loud when I was watching it.
There were a few people that said Topanga saying that she married Feeny. It didn't do much for me, but
I thought it was okay. A lot of things about Corey and Sean. A lot of Sean fans involved in this survey.
We do have a lot of Sean fans.
One of our listeners' handle is Queen of Rider. I don't know why you guys are so surprised. And what exactly does that entail?
Oh,
she's like Lord Dominion over his soul?
She is the queen of him. You know. Write and explain, please.
Yeah, I don't want to...
In detail. One thing I thought someone pointed out that I wouldn't have thought of right away is when Riley's freaking out about missing her TV show and Maya says, if only there was some way we could look it up.
That was actually a really good... I did laugh a ton at that moment.
That was a really good moment.
Because also that just, like, it made it feel so, like, these are 21st century kids own personal sass.
Similarly, something that I forget about a lot, but it wasn't, like, amazingly hilarious, but I did enjoy... I think it was in Girl Meets Father, when Maya is on the internet with, the fake internet, degree program with, that weird skinny guy. That was pretty funny. What else is this? There's a lot of Minkus Reproduce. Like, a lot of people really are into, Minkus Reproducing.
See, to me, that was kind of a cheap joke. That was okay.
You're just a hater of Home for the Holidays.
Yeah, you really hated that episode.
He's ridiculous.
He just hates the holidays.
Yep. He's a hater.
We've got the Belgium scream.
So is the Lucas nerd sound your answer or somebody else write that?
I might have been me.
That was you, Keith.
I don't know that it was because it was kind of recent. I wouldn't have expected this as a funny moment, but the sort of the Lucas speech in Sneak Attack where he's like, I certainly appreciate you wanting to watch a scary movie with me and showing me your leg and all. that was a pretty solid one.
Damocles
is a great one.
That was another moment where we just kind of died.
That's one that I loved, but I tend to forget it
in
the light of recent episodes. I'm not sure if that's just because time passing.
I think it's that episode too. I kind of blocked out of my brain.
I think it has it's a couple of things. That one, it was so long ago because of all these hiatuses. And
hiatus.
Oh, also I'll point out Girl Meets Popular got 0% of the votes for favorite episode.
Dang. But also it was just such a casual moment that was very funny. But it's like that subtle humor that I want from all of the episodes. Helps you laugh along the way.
Alright, best life lesson. Before we read other people's, what were your guys' responses to this?
Meh.
Really? You don't have a particular episode where you're like, this is a,
Mine wasn't really a particular episode as far as, something that I kind of got a message from the show.
Yeah.
As a whole.
So what was it?
Season one friendship.
Be friends.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the main message of season one. Friends are good to have.
In case
you didn't know, and in case you were already feeling bad about yourself not having friends, you should get some of them.
Yeah, I don't remember what I wrote, but I'm going to be honest that I have not been wowed by any one singular life lesson type message. I've been underwhelmed by a few of them to the point that I'm not sure if the first season is successful on that point.
I don't know that I've been taught any
moments that have life lessons. I have enjoyed the humor of the show thus far. I've been very underwhelmed with the life lessons.
And it doesn't mean that they're giving bad messages. It's kind of more the way that they're conveying them.
You think they're a little too stereotypical?
Yeah.
Yes, because, when I can think of a few things that Mr. Feeny said, word for word, that, have stuck with me my whole life. And I think part of it is the fact that Mr. Feeny was such an authoritative figure.
Do you know what it is?
And the way that he worded things and
Corey needs a mustache.
Ben Savage would look particularly strange with facial hair.
Okay, Mr. Finish mustache on Ben Savage and release it on Twitter.
Oh my.
Okay.
Okay, so let me say, so I have three. And only one of them, I would say, was, like, explicitly, like, this is the lesson of the episode. So, the first of all, The Girl Meets the Truth, I think, is by far the best, the most successful as far as those go, because it doesn't actually give you a definitive answer. It has a bunch of answers to the point where they ask, is this the lesson? Is this the lesson? And they don't really give you the answer. Augie goes, I'm five. I don't actually have the answer. And at the same time, I think it really delves into the topic in a way that, like, makes you think, and I think that's important. So definitely, I think that one's great. I think Maya's mother also is pretty strong as far as you can't always fix everything. Yes, they undermine it in other episodes. I agree with that. But as far as that episode goes on its own, the fact that it leaves it open-ended, that it doesn't have a perfect bow at the end, that she is dissatisfied, that she has to learn to let go of things.
And have half a tune.
She has to learn to let it go, much like in Frozen. And my third one would be...
Where that's a movie about someone has frostbite in their hands and all their fingers fall off.
And they have to let them go. Yes.
You need to watch the movie again, I think.
That was in the director's cut.
And my third one is a little bit more on the nose, but I still appreciated the idea of the message, which is Girl Meets the Forgotten, as far as appreciating those around you that are working hard that you're, you know, not really paying attention to. But be it your parents or their cafeteria workers or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I'm on the same page as you for the most part as far as truth goes.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little shaky at parts for me.
Yeah, as far as the episode actually went, it definitely wasn't one of my favorites, but mm-hmm. it had good scenes.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Forgotten, that's one of the ones that I thought kind of almost got there, but then just kind of took a nosedive, if I'm remembering correctly.
I mean, I never agreed with you on that. We really disagreed on Forgotten, actually. I like Forgotten quite a bit.
You guys usually disagree, though.
But I will admit, I'm not saying that Forgotten did an amazing job as far as subtlety and the lesson being nuanced. But I do think the message is a good message to send out to kids.
So, but then what are we voting on? That's the thing. Are we voting on what is a theme that we like? Or are we voting on the delivery of that theme as it was
affectatious? We're voting on best life lesson and how you interpret what that means. What I interpret it as, this is a really good life lesson that they taught. The truth, I don't think it doesn't matter whether you like the episode.
So would you
is
ever
the message of the truth a good?
Would you ever vote for flaws then?
Well, I don't think that they did a good job. I don't. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
I
don't think they. I don't think they conveyed a message that made sense. I don't know what the message was. I could guess like some people have here, and we haven't actually read what people said on this yet. But some people have here no matter how many flaws you have, like accept yourself or whatever. But I don't necessarily think I got that from that episode. So I don't really know what the message was from. I know it had to do with flaws, it had to do with bullying and accepting yourself or something. But I still don't really know what the actual message of that episode.
And then you wipe
is.
Them away.
Yeah, I don't. I still don't really know what that is. And there's a difference to me too in that like. Forgotten, maybe it was a little clumsy, or maybe it's a little hitting you over the head.
But at least the writers knew what they wanted to say.
Yeah, they knew what they wanted to say, and I don't think that they...
And they actually said it.
Yeah, and it also wasn't... We talked about flaws, about how we actually thought that it was sort of... What's the word I'm looking for?
Flawed?
Yeah. It was sort of...
school special.
It could be interpreted as somewhat offensive and not as far as...
Belittling the subject.
That's what I was looking for. Belittling the subject matter. I don't think that they belittled the subject matter in Forgotten. I think that maybe it was a little bit over the top, but it wasn't belittling anything.
Yeah, I'm with you on that point. I'm not sure I know what you're saying as far as the distinction between what's a good message to attempt and how they... delivered it.
So I didn't put Forgotten. I'm just thinking of life lessons that I think work. Mm-hmm. I think they're good life lessons to teach kids. And I think that it is a good life lesson to teach kids to pay attention to the people that you might not think about and what they're doing for you. I think it's a good life lesson. Now, if I was going to do the whole package, for me, the truth was the whole package as far as the message goes, and that I think the message is a good one and they delivered it well.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not
I
even...
can see where you're going with this. Yeah, people definitely took this in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, read a few of these.
Okay. So, never take people for granted, kind of what we were just talking about.
That was Dan?
No, that was not.
No.
I literally wrote the truth.
I was joking.
Not to ignore people that work hard for you.
Okay.
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 Read some of the flaws ones.
I'm just going in order.
You're always popular with your best friend.
Wow.
Wow. Wait, which quest? Is that from Popular?
You're always popular with... Yeah, that's Popular.
Okay.
You'll be my favorite no matter what you are.
depending on others and being independent are not mutually exclusive.
What is that? What episode is that supposed to be? Depending on others and being independent.
What's interesting is this question doesn't necessarily ask for what is the theme of one episode that you thought that was the episode was about. It could be something that's kind of spread over the series as a whole that then got inferred and kind of absorbed. Because
the thing is, it's like Maya tries to be very independent, but it doesn't mean she never needs Riley. Riley's whole goal, mm-hmm. other than Lucas, is trying to become more herself and find, you know, who she is and be more independent and have her own world.
When you were saying her whole goal, I assumed the next thing was to protect Maya. Not even out of the riot thing, but just, I guess that to me, that is her main goal, other than Lucas, is to help Maya, not to help herself.
But she is also coming into her own, she's, you know, getting her own world and everything, so she's becoming more independent.
Happy third subway ride.
But in the pilot, which Keith and I watched recently, she says, you know, there's the first person I want in my world is you, to Maya, which obviously it is. But that means that, she, you know, she can be independent, but it doesn't mean she doesn't need others.
Yeah.
This was mine, by the way. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to say that first. I wanted to know what you would say first.
Interesting. I liked that someone mentioned the cultural appropriation thing.
Yes, I really wish that we had actually touched on that, because I find that very interesting, and I'm actually really proud of the writers for taking on that kind of subject and showing that to kids.
That episode confused me a lot, because about cultural appropriation? I think that was an extra they shoved in there.
This is a perfect example of good idea to tackle, good life lesson, not necessarily handled in the best way, because the episode was about popularity.
Randomly reinventing yourself
to
get in with a crowd.
Because the entire episode leading up to that one scene where they addressed cultural appropriation really felt like it was about, like, be yourself, don't just go with some other thing.
Yeah.
It didn't... So I felt like they were kind of tackling two things at once there. And it felt...
So that's why I kind of didn't notice it at first.
Which is... So I think the idea of the cultural appropriation thing... And also, it was, I should say, it was always clearly part of the episode because she was wearing these outfits throughout the episode. But it was not clear why and what they were trying to say about it.
Yeah, because it didn't... It wasn't like, oh, I kind of want to be... I want to be a part of this culture or I want to convey things from this culture
would happen if we were watching a character who legit was interested in Japanese culture and legit wanted to portray themselves in this Harajuku girl kind of fashion sense. Is that wrong? I wonder what the writers would, how they would.
I think that they were saying don't just do it to be hip.
That's what I thought at the beginning, but then there's just like some weird stuff that just kind of came in at the end.
So the thing is, if they really did want to address specifically this is the episode about cultural appropriation, it shouldn't start with this whole thing of I want to be... It should start with like, this is a cool thing that cool people are doing, and I'm going to do... Because it
Beyblades!
The main thing we were talking about was that the Harajuku girl, part of it, came out of absolutely nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Nowhere.
Yeah, that
it was... I think part of it is if we had a character who was legitimately into Japanese culture and really was excited about Harajuku girls and learned more about it, that's not inherently wrong, because they're actually interested and they're taking their time out of their life to... you know, learn more about it, not just to take it on because they think it'll either please others or it's just aesthetically pleasing.
Well, the other thing they could have done is make it more like Truth and maybe have this new friend of theirs is legitimately like this person you're saying, and Riley wants to copy her and she's more cultural appropriating, and sort of show both ways and how, like, some ways can be sort of okay,
but
other ways can be
wrong.
Sort of...
Is that wrong if you have a new friend and you think they have a cool style and you're like, I like this.
No.
Let me try this out. Is that wrong?
No.
I think it's more just putting on a front that you know more about something than you do, and therefore you're claiming it as your own and not giving credit to the culture that it actually comes from.
But to that end, you know, all cultures are evolutions off of other ones. I don't know that...
I think, okay, this is what I would argue. I think on the individual level, there's nothing wrong with it, especially if you're a kid and you don't really know what you're doing. You're just like, this is cool and I want to be at this school. On the greater level, I do think it's something that a parent should point out to their kid and say, like, it's fine that you're doing this, but realize what you're doing, that this is based on something greater than what you're thinking, and you shouldn't just do it to do it because there is a history here.
I think the difference is between costume and outfit.
Yeah.
If it's a Halloween costume,
yes,
then it becomes a different kind of a cultural appropriation. If it's an outfit for the day, then you inject yourself into a certain aspect of this culture on your own terms, which definitely changes it and takes away from the original context.
Yeah.
But it's no less legitimate.
someone who's not brought up in a certain religion, like Catholicism or like Buddhism, and they, on Halloween, dress up like a nun or a Buddhist monk, or they convert and they actually are wearing a habit even though they weren't raised as Catholic or...
Are you saying the difference, that there's a big difference?
Whereas there? Actually, like, learning and being a part of the culture, and therefore taking it on.
Yeah.
Or, like, just mocking it.
Yeah.
That costume. Seems different to me.
But this is a conversation for another time, because we have a lot more questions to get to.
You can decide if you want to keep that or not.
No, I mean, I think that's fine. I just don't want to continue. But if you're interested in this conversation, you want us to talk about it on a future episode, let us know.
Yes, maybe it could be a very good hiatus episode if we get some tweets.
Send a letter to Daniel White, one...
At GMW...
The zip code?
GMWpodcast@gmail.com
Send some severed fingers.
Please don't.
Let it go. All right. We're going to have to let go of this question for now. Maybe we'll come back to it. Do you have a few other things you want to say?
Okay.
All right. Well, here's the big one. This is the one everybody's been waiting for. That went to sad direction.
What? No. Really? Hold up.
Yep, it did.
No way. Yeah. No way. Hold on. Scroll, damn it.
This is the shipping question. Favorite ship? Yes. It did not go Caitlin's way.
You've got to be kidding me. What?
All right, so I do want to
point... one question. What is wrong with you?
Literally right. Angry with everyone. Yeah,
hey. All right.
You can throw your phone.
Before we continue on, I do. Okay, so I want to give a caveat here.
Caveat.
So for 90% of this voting process, Corpango was in first place. Second place was Raya.
Ruka shippers, I will kill.
And then on the last day. I said that Rukus and Leia were tied and people should go vote because...
And Dan obviously made a great mistake not pay off for him.
But,
at the end of this
podcast. Now here's the last thing. So I'm gonna... There's a possibility that this particular question has been slightly tampered. And I don't know... Now the reason I'm saying that is because a lot of people that last day... answered the survey and only answered the shipping question and just put Rukus.
Oh.
So, I don't
know... Like, how many in a row?
Yes, yeah, so like a good number, like a significant number of people. Enough to significantly change the tide.
Right.
But, okay, so...
So, more than 20 and less than 1,000.
Yes. More. Yeah, that's true. And...
Wow.
Yeah, so, I don't... And I thought that maybe it could be, like, because earlier on in this process, we had, like, some person... post all the same answers within the same minute, like at the exact same minute.
Yeah, like write in answers, and not even just like vote for
Their favoritist moment.
That seemed like a glitch.
Yeah, so that I deleted all but one of their responses because I thought it felt like a glitch because you can't do that all at the same minute.
Yeah.
But as far as the Rukus guess by itself, I looked into it and it looks like it could be legit. I don't know if someone actually cared enough to like go on multiple computers or something.
I honestly think that there are people out there that take the ship seriously enough that I should have done this.
I mean, I don't want to say it's impossible that Rukus win or to get second place. It actually won. Yeah, Rukus got 46% of it.
Why?
So
even the not Raya ship, it's not my favorite.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it's impossible that this won. It could have won, but I will just say until the last day, it was in fourth place.
That seems really weird.
Because
to
for
me.
A good amount of time, not only was Raya and Corpanga beating it, but at some point
Leia was
beating it for a while. Shori was beating it for a while.
What about Shady Hunter?
Shady Hunter did okay. So we should actually say, okay, so first place was Rukus, second place was Corpanga.
No biases here.
Third place was Raya with 37%. So they were all pretty close.
Should have been first, at least second, with no rivalships.
The most surprising thing to me though is that Leia got 27%, which compared to Rukus at 46 is a significant difference.
Yes, because Leia was winning for a while and then they were tied, so that just seems really weird to me.
Yeah, a little surprised that Shady Hunter didn't get more love. It got 23%. But also, so we totally screwed up and forgot to do Josh and Maya as a possibility.
We're so sorry, Josh and Maya shippers.
people wrote in, but we only got about 17% of people saying Josh and Maya. We also got some Smackle and Farkle love and some
smack attack.
One person really is into Missy and put Missy for like all of her questions. Missy and Farkle is her ship. So good on ya.
Missy and Farkle is a very strange ship to me. I apologize.
I'm pretty on board with it.
I mean, yeah, I'm not on board with it, but I have not seen them interact enough.
Also, Shangela, 10%. Not very good Shangela show.
Yeah, well, Shady Hunter's winning.
Because she hasn't been on yet.
So. Yeah, but given that Sean was did so well and everything else, it's a little bit surprising.
Yeah, but see, that means that you have to have only the Boy Meets World fans who know what happened and not just the Girl Meets World fans that happen to like Sean.
Yeah. Markle, Maya and Farkle only got 4%, so that's not they're not allowed to do that, guys.
Good.
Apparently.
What about Farley? How'd Farley do?
Farley got 5%.
What about Swarley?
Good.
Swarley. Swarley. Sparkly.
Tweet in if you understand this reference.
Okay. All right.
I have to pee.
Keith has to pee, and we're going to continue without him.
Good.
Do you have anything else you want to say about the shipping thing before we move on?
Well, that Ruka shippers are wrong. Even if you don't ship Raya, you should ship Leia.
or Korpanga. Well, Korpanga was winning for so long.
Yeah, but this one you can pick multiple, because not all of the ships were rival ships. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing. So because like that person was just picking, whoever those people were just picking Rukus. They weren't even picking other things. Like they don't really? Yeah, they don't even, that's what I was saying. Literally their only answer for a bunch of people was just Rukus. They didn't even put Korpanga or something in addition.
Okay, this isn't even Raya bias right now. That actually really seems glitchy / someone found a way.
It's definitely not glitchy, but I think someone might have found a way. Or just they might have rallied the troops or something.
Own up if it was you.
But Raya forever.
Otherwise, Caitlin will find you.
Alright, but at least Raya did well. Raya, third place isn't... Yeah, especially only losing the Korpang.
Second to a rival ship.
Yeah. We were totally fine when it was Korpanga first, and then Raya.
Yeah, because, I mean, at least that's not a rival ship. It's okay, Cory and Topanga kind of their thing.
And you gotta love Cory and Topanga.
Yeah, and then Raya can have their thing.
Yeah. Alright, question 5. Topics you would like...
Question 5.
Question 8. Topics you would like to see...
Where have you been for a third of this podcast?
Topics you'd like to see the show cover. Choose all that apply. So, we're just gonna... You want us to run through them all?
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting question, though.
We came up with a really interesting question.
Yeah, I guess. I'm sorry. We're lame. But...
We got some interesting answers. Okay, so let's talk about the top ones, and then let's just talk about the top ones, and then we'll talk about which ones.
All right, so the winning topic was cyberbullying, coming in at 61.8% of people who took the survey want to see that topic tackled.
Yeah, so do we want to just talk about that real quick?
I think it's very interesting. It's obviously something that Boy Meets World couldn't really handle. Yeah. I mean, email
couldn't handle it.
Well, because it just was not a thing in the 90s that people... We're doing.
Yeah.
And it's obviously something that people deal with on a very intense and in-your-face way. You know, we're very social media driven in this 21st century.
I do think cyberbullying is a good topic because, A, it's something that for the Boy Meets World fans, they're like, oh, we haven't seen this before.
Right.
And for the Girl Meets World fans, I think it's, of all the topics, I think it's the most relevant to them right now.
It's something that Disney could definitely do.
Yeah, and there's no, like...
I have my,
talking about cyberbullying right now, Keith.
Yeah. I'm a cyberbully.
Yeah, of course.
Keith, you're a jerk. Yep. I have my hesitations because I feel like it could come across the way that Flaws did, which which didn't work for me given the seriousness of the topic. But
this would be the kind of thing that I'd kind of like them to sprinkle in slowly and have a couple episodes about it. And I think that enough people are interested in it that they could easily do that and it wouldn't be a big deal.
I concur.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a really good way to handle it. Yeah. We should talk to the writers.
Yeah.
And send them in the survey.
So, second place was drugs and alcohol, which I was very surprised by. I was not expecting that to be so high.
I think that becomes a certain amount of, I don't think Disney Channel is going to do it, so let's show them that they need to do it.
I also think there's a part of it just like, wouldn't it be fun to see them drunk?
I don't think so, but I mean,
that's like something people like that kind of, it's the drinking episode, look how fun they are drunk, it's fun. Like, it was fun watching Cory be drunk in the first half of the episode, wasn't it?
I agree.
Right.
Like we talked about in our Boy Meets Flaws episode, you should pause and go listen
boy,
to that real quick.
Boy,
and
not
back.
Girl, Boy Meets Flaws.
Yes. Boy. Where we talk about the issues boy. That Boy Meets World had.
Yeah.
That's something that I think this topic, they'll need a few episodes for, to really give it its merit. Yeah. And treat it right.
We've definitely talked about a lot of these things as far as do we think they'd ever do it or not. I don't know that. Have we talked about alcohol specifically? First of all, drugs, I think, are completely off the table. Alcohol.
Interesting.
Maybe. I actually think we should have put drugs and alcohol as separate things.
Let's just assume that we live in a magical universe where they actually are going to tackle some things.
Yeah.
What kind of drugs do you think they're going to tackle, and how do you think they're going to tackle
them? Marijuana and badly.
Oh, yeah. Marijuana, it makes you kill your parents. You murder people on the road.
I've seen it happen.
Galen's a drug addict. Or, like, Morgan the coke addict, like, he also wants to see.
Oh, that's true.
Third place was... was it gender equality? Yeah, it was gender equality.
Say genocide versus...
No. Third place was depression. And then gender equality was fourth place. So depression, I think, is an interesting one. And I think that's actually one they could also but very difficult to
really
do it right.
Really delicate. Yeah.
That's another one where... That's one of those ones that, for me... It could really offend me if they didn't handle it right.
I think that's probably the number one thing that they can screw up so easily that would offend the most people, I believe.
That's something that they definitely need to talk.
And I'm not even, at this point, I'm not even saying because of their abilities, or it's just anybody could be so easy
But I also think there's a certain attitude with a show that's going to be on Disney Channel, and that's geared towards a kind of a poppy kind of attitude for the most part. Yeah. That they really need to break it down and take it seriously and not just do one-off.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, even in most of pop culture, beyond even just things aimed at kids, when depression is tackled, it's by the end of the movie, they've solved it.
Or died.
Sure. But, like, a lot of times it's like, oh, I'm depressed, and then I found love, and together we got through it. That's a very ongoing thing. So when even like big budget, like Oscar-winning movies do that.
Yeah.
So, like, when that's...
Even Hubert-winning movies...
So when that's happening, then it's very difficult for something like Born.
I don't know what the writer's general method is for when they're creating new episodes, but I think
they take like an apples to apples game. They throw it up in the air, and whatever cards they catch, that's what the episode is.
Meets green iguanas.
Iguanas are green, so the writers did a really good job that game.
They're very good at catching.
But anyways, what I'm going to say is, I think that among a lot of these, depression is something that I think they should talk to people who are actually in their demographic.
To young kids, yeah.
Yes, yeah. To really see like how it actually affects them. How, you know, certain things that you think would cure depression really don't. Yeah. And, you know, like, what should they deal with? What kind of stigmas do they think exist that shouldn't?
Yeah, this is also, this is a one that could be difficult, but this honestly should be one that's like truth. Where there's multiple different takes on this idea.
There needs to be no resolution.
Multiple different, but I'm also saying multiple characters with different facets of it.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how, maybe one person really has it bad, and so it brings out things about the other people that they actually talk about.
Ultimately, what it needs to do is, it needs to pose a question, but not necessarily seek to answer it outright.
Yeah.
That's the overall quality that needs
to be. Yeah, in general, the things that I want from the show is, let's discuss a topic and leave things for you to sort of want to talk about with your parents, talk about with your family, talk about with your friends.
Right.
And these are things that we should all be discussing and learning about, but we're not going to say, we know what the answer is.
Exactly.
Because here it is.
Because that would not work. Yeah. And also, I mean, one way they could go is, because in real life, when something happens to someone that is really life-changing in some way due to their depression, and then other people become aware of it, like they attempted suicide or anything like that, it then makes people more aware of, A, I should get help, B, like, what's going on with me, and it causes people, like, when something happens like that, unfortunately, sometimes it takes something like that to get people to start talking. So that could be one thing that happens in Girl Meets World, that one of the characters, something really life-changing kind of happens, and then it causes the other characters to be more open about it.
Yeah.
And it causes, and it poses questions to the audience as well.
It needs to start with somebody like, there's a character that's not doing well in school anymore, or somebody like that is not going to classes. That's how it needs to start.
You mean like Girl Meets Flaws?
But better.
Okay, but we have to move on. So one thing I did think was interesting was that LGBTQ did fine. It got 49%. But there are a lot of things. It was like, you know, like fourth or fifth place or something, which was not as high as I was expecting.
Right, it was first place for a very long time, actually, in the survey.
I think that was, and I think some of our older listeners were the first to answer the survey.
Mm-hmm.
And then the younger listeners kind of trickled in.
Well, it's also an interesting thing to show, because if you're if you're someone who listens to us, then you're already more predisposed to be interested in this stuff. Yeah. And so if even our audience, only less than half of them are interested in seeing this, that isn't a very great sign.
Yeah.
Especially because you could pick multiple things. So, like, yeah, like, forget about how it'd be compared to other things. Less than half the people
wanted to see it.
Also, eating disorders did not do very well. And religious views, which they literally are doing, because we know Girl Meets Belief is coming, got the lowest score, 30%.
Uh-oh, bad sign for the writers here. Right. And then, but gender equality did do well.
Yeah.
Which I think Rowan would be happy to hear.
And I think that, I'm guessing...
What would Rowan do?
I'm guessing it's also partially due to the fact that they recently had a gender equality episode of Liv and Maddie that was very well received. So mm-hmm. people are a little bit more believing that Disney can tackle that kind
of thing. Yeah, that topic
Sex
came
was
in...
also very high for a very long time.
Obviously.
Autism.
What?
Someone said autism.
Okay, I'm trying to open up the responses and won't let me.
So someone said autism, which I think could work. I think I actually heard that they were going to do that. I can't
remember.
Yes,
actually the writers did. Someone posed that question. They said Girl Meets Genius will be that episode. That, which I think, given that episode title, that actually seems like a really intriguing thing to me. I hope they do it well and be respectful.
I'm
going to
say the opposite. Given that episode title, that seems a very blunt way to start it out. Because that plays on stereotypes very heavily.
Well, the other thing, I'm going to completely hold back judgment until you've actually seen episodes, because they said, like, I think they mentioned depression for Girl Meets Flaws, and I don't really feel like that episode was tackling depression.
No.
So, but the fact that what wasn't tackling it makes me not be, like, mad that they mishandled depression. I just feel like it wasn't even in there. So maybe they're thinking of autism and it's not really autism. So we'll see. What other things are people interested in seeing?
I would prefer that they not tackle any of these topics. It is always so unrealistic, and honestly, does it really help anyone?
Now, see, I think that's an interesting response.
I don't think this was me.
It wasn't.
But I can understand this person's viewpoint,
given
my feelings on flaws and similar things like that. They would feel offended that these issues would get kind of canned into these little small spaces that are just so taken away from true context.
I think it would be a massive shame if they decided, you know what, we're not capable of doing this. We're going to give up and be a silly sitcom. I think that would honestly make me not want to watch the show anymore. And it's season one. So Flaws was not the best episode. There were other good topics they tackled, and I'd like them to try harder.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Because I think built into that idea is an impossibility. For them to realize that they're not capable of doing it would mean that they're more capable of doing it.
Mm. Right.
Them not being capable would be them not realizing that they're not capable.
Yeah.
I don't know if you just mean specifically, does it help that the Girl Meets World writers are doing this, or just tackling these topics in general, but I think it's very important that people see topics that are... pertain to their lives in the media, because the media is a very strong tool. It's very good in letting you know that you're not alone. Yeah. It's very good with representation. All of these things should actually be portrayed. Whether or not you think it should be in Girl Meets World, that's a separate issue.
Well, okay, so if you're listening, person who wrote this, I would like a follow-up here, because I'm interested in whether they're saying, generally, whenever anyone tackles these kinds of topics, does it actually help anyone that they're just seeing these things on TV? Or are they saying, is the way they're handling it actually helping?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I definitely agree with you that, in general, TV shows should tackle these topics.
Exactly.
I can maybe see their point of, does something like Flaws actually help anyone? Which I still think it did. Even if we didn't really connect with it, I felt like a lot of other younger people did connect with
on
it.
On a similar yet slightly dissonant note is an idea that you have to think about. These things are sort of propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if it's purely that, but you can consider it as...
It was Boy Meets World.
Well, what I mean is, if you're talking about these ideas and these issues and you're trying to say something about it, you're giving them publicity and you're treating them as sort of a propaganda idea when you're broadcasting something.
Yeah, anyone who's like, I'm going to tackle a topic, they're doing propaganda because they're saying their idea of the topic.
One thing to consider is what the issue is and so what you're saying about it. So, for instance, if we have an episode that talks about how religion is good...
Yeah.
And the target audience is religious families, what does that do? Does that convince anybody of anything?
Yeah.
You have to think about what the issue is, what are the beliefs that the viewership already has about this issue,
yeah.
and what you're saying. Is it the same? Are you reaffirming reaffirming ideas that they already have? Mm-hmm. Are you giving them an
alternative? The audience isn't just one thing.
Right, I know, but I'm saying, are you giving it an alternative that is completely polarized and so that no one's ever going to change their mind?
Yeah.
These are just all things that have to be considered.
I do want to say that you just made me think about, you know, we talked a lot about how, in our opinion, the best thing to do is to just present a topic and not really give a specific, this is the answer. I do think that that can be a negative, too. You can go too far with that way, yes. too. Because you don't want to not say anything. You want, like, if you're an artist, you want to say something. And, like, yes, sometimes it's good to bring up a topic and just let other people do what they want to do with it. But if you're not, like, if you're just kind of being, like, these are the options, let's be unbiased as much as possible. You can't actually be unbiased. There's no way to be unbiased.
There's a difference between unbiased and non-linear presentation. Yeah. Okay. I think that's...
I don't believe in saying, I'm going to make this as objective as possible, because it's impossible to actually be objective.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah.
A couple more answers from this one are financial issues and how it affects kids. That's cool. That's really interesting, because that can be very... Especially in public school.
Mm.
So many different, like, Farkle versus Maya.
Yeah.
And the disabled,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which it feels like they passed up an opportunity on, but we'll see.
As far as Mr. Turner goes, yeah, which we'll definitely get into when we see his episodes.
Yeah.
And then as far as, question nine was, what do you think could be improved in the next season? And we got a lot of responses here. I apologize also, just we clearly can't read every response we got, because we got more than 20, but less than 1,000. So we're just picking out ones, but thank you to everybody who wrote in. We've read all
of them. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Except for Ruka Shippers. No, I'm just kidding. We love you too.
You know who you are.
But we're going to also try and fix you. So keep listening.
Electroshock therapy.
Alright, so what are some of these? What could be improved? Read some of the positive ones and some of the negative ones.
Okay. More Rukus. You're wrong. No, I hope to see more about Corey and Sean or Eric. You're welcome.
We did this for you.
If I'm going to speak for the Girl Meets World writers, which obviously I can, because I'm totally their PR person, because we say nothing but positive things about them. Uh-huh. But there's going to be a lot of Sean and Eric in season 2, so you will be a happy camper.
You will camp so happily.
I thought this said classroom pants. It says classroom parts.
Well, so I will say just some themes that I saw running throughout a lot of these were classroom scenes, character development.
Yes.
A little bit. Some people say in Farkle.
Season 2 growth. Development. I mean, season 2 growth.
Yeah. This is an interesting one. Less yelling of the lines. Mm-hmm. A problem even the pros are having.
Yeah. And I don't know that I'm blaming the actors. I'm blaming direction on that. Because I write a lot of lines that are like, I'm going to scream, then you're going to scream, and then you're going to say the same thing back as a scream. And I mean, we have
I can think of a couple characters that you might specifically be talking about.
As you're screaming directly into my ear.
She was directed to do that, okay?
Saying more true to the characters.
Yeah. A lot of people were saying...
I think that's... Amy is a big...
Riley, because she's just kind of inconsistent.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that person means in relation to Boy Meets World.
And so then, Topanga would definitely be up
there. Yeah, Topanga I think actually is the number one, I'd say. But I also, a lot of people were saying sort of focusing on one plot, not having as many B plots, stuff like that.
Yeah, I did see that a lot, including Eric and Sean Moore, and having more life circumstances with Corey and Topanga. Corey could grow up a bit more and start acting like the adult he is.
Yep. Oh boy.
Or a beetle.
Probably. Keith, whatever it is, could you kill it?
We have beetles a lot of the time. It's probably a beetle.
Can I step on it? Holy fuck. Get out now.
Yeah, get out of the room.
Keith, kill it.
Is the audio still on?
Kill it. Yes, kill it. Kill it with fire.
It's on your headphones.
My purse.
Huh?
You know what to do.
Hold on. Can I use your foam hammer?
No.
What if I put a napkin on the other side of it? Whose boot is this?
It doesn't matter. It's a boot, so it's much more.
It isn't anymore. The legs look like a beetle, but there's a coloration that looked kind of like a bee on it, so it might have been... I'm pretty sure it was a cockamouse.
Okay. So did you...
Do you need a paper towel?
Is it dead?
No, because I used napkins on the other side of the boot. I strategically made it so it wouldn't be a mess. Okay.
So it's gone.
It may come back.
Keith is a god! I have no idea where we were.
No.
You also might want to get new headphones.
New headphones? What did you do to my headphones?
It was crawling all over your headphones, Dan.
Oh, I'm going to have to clean those.
No, you're going to have to get new ones.
No, I just bought them.
It doesn't matter, dude.
Yeah, they're new.
They're just the ones that you always have the same kind?
Yeah.
So you keep all that.
Stronger B plot. Yeah.
Where were we?
No repetitive continuity and pacing.
Oh, I was in the middle of reading an answer, actually.
Yeah, sure.
So the last thing I said was Corey could be more like the adult he is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know how anyone feels about that. I think Corey is relatively true
is he
to
an
his
adult?
Character.
Well, no.
I don't think he could ever be
okay,
an adult.
Okay, so I understand as far as that, but we definitely complained about him not being an adult in the classroom scenes and not taking control of his
That's
classroom.
Different, though. Yeah. That's him not being good at his job.
Yeah.
Yes. Which I think that he had enough influences.
Yeah.
That he could be good at his
But
job.
I want that to be a journey of him becoming more authoritarian. I don't want
authoritarian is not the word.
No, it kind of is. I would call Feeny authoritarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
he's not totalitarian.
I'm not saying I want it right away. I want it to be a journey. I want it to be
You
be
are courage. A despot.
Yes, clearly. So as a despot, we're gonna move on. And so the final question was how would you rate the season on a grading of like A to F? And so I average the grades. And
like
became,
a good professor.
Yes, yes. And we came up with a B.
How did our students do?
If our students are the Girl Meets World writers, they got a B+.
Well, you could have done better.
So what did you guys grade it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, fine. You don't have to say what you did on the
thing. I gave it about a B+.
I believe I gave it a B-.
Something in the B range. I know
that. I
probably
gave it a B- too.
Yeah.
No, you gave it a C.
Did
something.
I?
Yeah,
I think he gave it a C+, and I gave it a B-.
Yeah. I know I did better than you guys.
I think
it was like maybe B. I gave it better. Fine. They received a better grade from me.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, so I think B- is actually very solid. And even C+ is average. I think they had a really big uphill battle going.
I mean, they had a lot of hype. They had a big name to live up to. Boy Meets World has a huge cult following.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, given our level of involvement with Boy Meets World and the amount of emotional connection that we have with that in our childhood,
right?
The fact that it isn't an F is a massive achievement. I really do believe that is that like a lot of people just saw the pilot and were like F out of here and did not mean it that way.
This is the explicit podcast.
I think that they did. I think they really did some things well. I think that Lucas got so much better with time.
So much better.
And, you know, I think that...
Why do you always have to, like, make nose sounds into cups every podcast?
And I think that, the casting was great. There was better humor throughout the season.
Yes, as far as everything goes, I do not regret 95.8%.
Stop drinking and doing meth.
This.
Crackhead. Alright, so I'm gonna use this as a
95.8 million.
Alright, so I'm gonna use this as a springboard into this magical tweet.
Please delete that.
No. Magical tweet from @JeremyPape93.
Papey.
He sent this a while ago, so he probably forgets he even asked it.
sorry, Jeremy Pape.
Is there something that you think season one of Girl Meets World did better than season one of Boy Meets World? So I think this is an interesting question. So because I think that they did quite a few things better. And I still think Boy Meets World season one is better. But I think that they did a lot of things. So we never really had our like season one Boy Meets World review thing. We don't have to go like super detail.
Right.
But
I haven't seen season one of Boy Meets World like in its entirety or at least in its bulk.
In a while. Yeah. So I just want to add, having recently rewatched a lot of it, because I hadn't seen it in order, I think, before we started the podcast.
Right.
My main takeaway was I think it's very solidly written. It deals with some pretty intense topics in a good way. I think the humor is really strong in most of the episodes. On the negative side, I don't relate to Corey at all. He doesn't like girls. He makes fun of smart kids. He is in love with sports.
And as the girl-chasing nerd that did it.
Yes, that hates sports.
Making it like that's not an accurate description.
No, it's completely true.
I know, but her attitude.
Yeah. I don't connect with him at all, and I never did, because I never liked sports. I always enjoyed school, and I never didn't like girls. I never had the girls have cooties phase. So, I don't connect with him in that season.
Did you ever have the girls have cooties phase, Keith?
Keith still does. He's just with you for your looks. That doesn't make any sense.
I was going to say something similar to that, but better. Yeah. Worded a little better.
So, did you have that phase?
Not like that. Not. I really do think that that sort of definition of the girls have cooties phase is a product of the media.
Yeah.
It really is.
You think so?
To that extent, it
to is. Somewhat. But I also,
and if it's not, it's at least an archaic.
Also,
form
even
of
beyond, growing. Even beyond that, is I just felt like, he was so naive in so many of those episodes. Whereas, like, I know the lesson they're going to teach him at the beginning of the episode, and he doesn't know it for so much of the episode that, like, it was, and I don't really have that feeling with Riley for most of the episodes because she feels like. And I don't know if it's the whole thing we've talked about where, like, he feels like a child and she feels like a preteen, and there's a big difference there for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that Boy Meets World has a more innocent factor than Girl Meets World does.
Season one.
Yes, as far as season one goes.
Yeah.
And given that it's very interesting, the topics that they tackle,
yeah.
and the jokes that they make, and all different things like that.
Yeah. Well, I want to just throw out for people who haven't seen it in a while, specifically the episode that really jumps out at me is Eric coming to the sixth graders and telling them about high school and about alcohol and about, you know, you don't think you might be pressured, but you could be pressured and all that sort of bullying and all that stuff that he comes and tells them. I thought it was a really powerful episode.
It's not like it's coming from Alan and Amy. Yeah. It's not like it's coming from Mr. Feeney. It's coming from someone who is currently dealing with it and has a little bit of experience with it, but it's someone that you still admire. Like, when you're Corey's age watching the show or anything like that, it's like, oh, the next coolest thing that it's going to happen to me is, like, I'm going to be 16 and I'm going to be able to go to parties. And
that's what adults are.
Yeah. You know, we used to think that
ninth
the adults
grade
were
women.
Exactly.
Keith loves them. Sorry, Keith, you're being very quiet about Boy Meets World Season 1.
Well, what I was going to say, if I rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
You were saying that innocent was the word that you attributed to the first season, right?
Yes.
So, for me, it's not so much that it's innocent, it's that it's less directed. Mm-hmm. I think that when they started Girl Meets World, they said, yes, this is the direction where we're going to go. Mm-hmm. We have to cover this, this, and this. This is kind of the overall feel it has to be.
Yeah.
When they started Boy Meets World, they had, like, let's kind of test the waters,
figuring it out as they go,
see what happens, and that allowed them a kind of freedom that honestly made it more realistic because they didn't feel like they had to hit certain points at certain times, or they didn't have to create. They didn't have to create the same kind of concise persona.
See, I don't know that I agree. So I don't think it's unrealistic that it just started in season two, is what they did. Because if Boy Meets World started in season two, it would be pretty much the exact same thing. So. Girl Meets World. So Boy Meets World season two starts off with I like girls. I want to be popular. I want to find girls. And you know this is my thing. Girl Meets World starts with I want to be cool. I want to find boys. So to me, it's like they just hacked off season one.
Season one was I want to throw wadded paper towels in the back of people's hair at the movie theaters.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
So that's why I see as the innocence and the naive. Is that it's the lack of any sex, like, because obviously, so they're not like making it sexual in Girl Meets World yet, but just the very fact that, like, her goal is to date, even if she doesn't really understand that yet, it takes away some of the innocence.
Like you're saying that Corey's more childlike and Riley is more like a preteen. Yeah.
I don't know if innocence is the right word, though. I think that...
Well, that's what it comes...
Childlike?
Less directed.
No, it is innocent. No, because to me, when you're just saying, oh, all I care about is throwing things and playing basketball, and I don't care about There's no sexual component. That is, it is more innocent to me.
Yes.
And it is more, and
it's more prepubescent.
Yeah, yeah, because even if they're not specifically saying Riley wants to get with Lucas to make out and hook up or whatever, she still kissed the boy by the end of the season on a date. And so that is less innocent and is more like, especially when that was her goal from episode one, was I want to get this boy to talk to me. That is a less innocent goal than I just want to be in the back of a movie theater and throw things at people.
Right.
But I think that...
And I don't think... I don't want to say that I'm placing any judgment on any of these things as far as innocent, bad, or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's a more, like, fairy-tale-like, childlike wonder in season one of Boy Meets World, and more of a...
I think part of it is that I find season one of Boy Meets World more relatable, not in Corey's character, but in the idea that, like, it feels like you're at home, and it feels like everything is very, almost at ease in a different way than when you're watching Girl Meets World.
It's more rhizomatic.
So for me, when I watch Boy Meets World season one, and I know this is probably very particular to me, but I'm seeing it as, wow, what a great show, what a great kids show. And I don't really feel that way in Girl Meets World. I see what an inconsistent but enjoyable show that I can still somewhat connect with. Because I think for me, it's been so long since I remember being like Corey and being that naive and being that... Because it goes beyond even just liking girls. It's just like every episode his head's just in the clouds and he has no idea what they're going to teach him.
So do you find Boy Meets World more of a season one kid show versus family show?
I mean,
it's a very hard decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, season one is still really funny and I still enjoy watching it, but I am distanced. I'm like, this would be really good for kids, and like, but it's still funny for me, but it's not like I'm connecting with him on a, I'm connecting with Feeny.
Wow.
Okay, so, I still have a little bit of a problem with your use of the term innocent, because I think it's just kind of a tropic evaluation of the adolescent situation. But I think what I believe the heart of it is that is the Boy Meets World first season is more rhizomatic in the way that they're just kind of exploring not only just the show itself, but the characters are more exploring with little concrete goals. They have very little conviction as to what they want to do. They just are, they might say they have certain plans, but they really, the world dictates what happens to them.
Yeah.
And Girl Meets World, each character has a certain conviction, a certain plan, and they
go towards it. I think we're both correct here. I think that, yes, I completely agree with you that this is more directed. I'm not disagreeing that season one of Girl Meets World is more directed.
It's more linear.
The director, the direction that they're giving is also one that is less innocent because it's a more focused on sexual connections and stuff like that. And so, yes, I think you're also right that it was a nice thing about Boy Meets World season one was that they're just like living life and here are little moments and little things happening.
But
what is it about Boy Meets World that you don't find innocent? Or what is it about the word innocent that you don't think
contributes? I don't like the term innocent applied to childhood because for two separate things. A, it gives connotations that it, by using that word, even if you're not thinking about it, you're feeding into the stereotype of sexuality as demonization.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's built into the language that is just what's there. Okay. It also...
Fine, naive, then.
It also completely ignores what other things are. What is innocent? That mean that that's applying a certain morality that's kind of arbitrary.
Okay, but whether you have issues with the connotations of the word, do you get what we're saying?
That is a type of tropic thought that I'm just not...
You can't...
But
I don't think so. I can see where you're coming from there, but I also don't think you're allowing that there is a difference. That whether you like the
I
word
know
innocence,
there's a difference, but I think it's more nuanced. It's more nuanced than just that dichotomy.
Mm.
Okay, well, other than just the idea of Boy Meets World was more exploring the path that it would take in the future, what other words would you use to describe Boy Meets World?
I mean, do you disagree with naive? And I don't mean that in a negative
way. No, I would not disagree with that. I think the biggest difference is...
blissfully ignorant to the world.
The childlike wonder.
The naivete is sort of embraced in a way that it doesn't need to be corrected or celebrated. It just is treated as a constant. And that is what makes it successful in that way.
Well, so the other thing... You like this sort of lack of direction. But at the same time, I remember someone said, like, oh, I don't think the arcs in Girl Meets World season one are that strong or whatever. And I go, well, look at Boy Meets World season one. That doesn't have, like, any arcs, basically, besides maybe Sean has a little bit of something, like one or two episodes.
Yeah.
And so, in some ways, being directed, in a lot of ways, being directed is a great thing for a TV show. And it's just whether you're into that or you're not into that. And I think it's great that they actually had the momentum of Father to Truth to Holidays to Master Plan, and having that arc for her and what her life was, and bringing the locket in early and then having the locket pay off.
Right.
I think that's a really strong thing they did over more episodes than Sean, even though I think Sean had some really great things in season one with the mailbox and things like that, but it was more spread out.
Something like the locket, though.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good arc. That's not necessarily what I mean by it having a linear direction.
Yeah.
That almost feeds more into the sort of Rhizomatic thing, where it is this offshoot. It's a side thing.
I think you have to explain Rhizomatic, because I don't think a lot of 14-year-olds are going to know what you're saying.
Linear versus Rhizomatic has to do with the direction from the center that, let's use the word vector,
travels. You're doing a good job explaining.
You're
this.
Horrible at this. I'm so glad that you're not trying to be a teacher right now. Sorry, babe.
Because it basically completely is linear. It's an arc that goes from episode to episode to episode, and then it has an... I don't know what you're saying.
What I mean is the way that it explores themes and explores itself, the way the characters interact with the world, is less... It feels less determined at the set. And things happen in a more organic way.
Mm-hmm.
At least as we see it, but the writers planned this.
I understand. I'm not saying there isn't direction in terms of I'm the director. I'm saying there's less linear direction, as in, here we go, shoot off in that way, and we're going to end there at the end of the season.
Like, less predictability?
No, but I think that that's very... As far as the arc goes, I think that it very much is that. But I also don't think it's a bad thing. I think they planned an arc. It paid off well. It was a good journey and a good build-up. It's also not the end of the arc. It's a good step in the arc. I think it worked really well, and it was linear, but in a good way. Because it very clearly was, beginning of the season, we're going to plant this thing here. Then the next step is we're going to show, like, her issue, you know, some of her greater issues and connect her with Corey.
Yeah.
And we're going to show Sean come in and see what could that mean. And it's very clear, like, A, B, C, D, like, I think it worked really well.
As far as Boy Meets World Season 1, which
is
Girl Meets World Season 1, I think there's more character development in Girl Meets World Season 1.
Aside from Sean, I agree with you. Sean got some good stuff. And I also think...
In season one?
Yeah.
Really? Because...
The
mailbox
episode.
No. I'm not disagreeing with you,
yeah.
But we had this conversation on the phone before, and you said that Maya had more character development than Sean.
Well,
so
no.
That's why I'm trying to...
Well,
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I want to hear more.
Maybe she has a little bit more, but I'm just saying that I don't think that he didn't get... I don't think that he didn't get any... Like, he got development.
Flopper.
No, I guess, so as far as who got more?
Yeah,
okay, I'll say Maya got a little bit more, but I'm still saying that Sean got good development
in
season one.
That I definitely agree with, and I'm not saying one versus the other right now in my questioning you, but I was just really confused.
Now, what do we think about Corey versus Riley? I don't really, because Corey, I do think, was more in control, and was more about Corey, and, like, especially because Sean's episodes were, like, once in a while.
It's interesting, because the way that he was in control...
Yeah.
Is by being so not in control.
Yeah.
It's
so
just
weird,
that he had less
thing.
To control. He had less going on in his life than he was expecting.
But
he tried to control as much as he could.
Yeah.
It's just he failed miserably at it.
Well,
and
they also did something that I love, which again connects back to the childlike wonder versus the teen wonder, which is that he had small goals for episodes,
and he believed in those small
goals. And so he went after those small goals. So, like, when Riley's goal in most and, like, a bunch of the episodes is Lucas, she's not really going to get anywhere in that one episode most of the time besides the finale.
Or they're just so big that you don't know how she's going to succeed. She doesn't even know how she's going to succeed.
So, like, I think because, like, when you're learning about writing, when the goal is something that, like, on the surface is so minimal, when the writer manages to give that big stakes for you within the episode, that's like a big deal. So, like, when Corey's goal is buying a toy, like buying a water gun, and that becomes a big deal for you, and it's like he's buying a water gun, like, that doesn't matter if you get the water
gun. And then they pepper in the kind of the take back, and like, oh, this was my goal, but now I have a new one after I achieved it.
And so, I think that I definitely think something is gained there, and I do think it's interesting because in some ways, I liked that they let her be more, have more preteen goals as opposed to child goals. But I do think that they needed to mix in more things like Demolition, where it's like, we need to go buy something, yeah. we need to do
You've definitely hit something in that. Season 1, Corey had little goals and big ambition, whereas Riley has big goals and little ambition.
I think another thing is that we always kind of learn what the message is in the episode, but we don't always get to see how that really affects Riley.
Mm-hmm. Or how she came to that conclusion. Or because even, like, Feeny might say something in season 1 of Boy Meets World, and he won't get it when Feeny says it. He'll get it late. He'll come to it some other way. It'll spark something in him.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Which, I also think, as far as Riley goes, even in Demolition, which I think was a step in the right direction, I think you were right, and that I was a little too nice to it when you said that they should have had a specific thing they wanted money for. That they should have been like, I want to go to this concert, we need money to go to this concert, how are we going to get the money, now we're going to sell our clothes.
So it's more tangible.
Yeah, it should be more tangible, it shouldn't just be like, this week we need money. And
we've never needed money before.
Yeah, and I think that for me, the reason I was like more okay with we just need money was because I didn't want them to be like, we need money for shoes.
Right.
But
could have been, we need money for these weird shoelaces that are popular at school right
astronauts
now.
Astronauts on horses.
Well, they could have, they could have been like a really expensive astronaut on a horse they wanted to buy. And at the end, they get like an antique astronaut. Yeah,
something weirdly specific.
I really like that.
We need wants that are weirdly specific that speak to the trends that are going on inside the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because also when you're like, we need money this week, it's like, a couple weeks ago, we were able to go to Demolition and get all the things that we needed to decorate Augie's room like a pirate ship. And now, we can't afford anything in
Demolition. Well, they used to operate on the barter system. They changed.
Oh, I see. They changed management.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
So we had plans to do a bunch of other things on this podcast, such as emails, but unfortunately no time for mail time. And we were also going to do our top 5 episodes of season 1, but we just talk a lot.
We do, and for some reason you keep listening, so we keep doing it.
Yeah, and I have to go to work in the morning, so unfortunately...
But wait, Dan, I thought this was your job.
Well, pay me. We're going to get sponsorships, and then we can podcast for hours and hours.
We should set up like a GoFundMe or something like that.
Yeah, so we can't really get to that. I might do a blog. We might do blog posts with our top fives and stuff. And we're sorry we didn't get to read anybody else's top fives and discuss them.
I'm not sorry.
And we'll try to get to the emails at some point. If they become not relevant, I apologize.
I don't.
Keith's a bad seed. All right, so first, before we end out, check out our YouTube video we did. It's pretty great. It's called Stop at Your Boys. That's what it is. Stop at Your Boys.
Stop at Your Boys.
And it's me and Keith reenacting the bay window scene.
And pointing out the double standards that exist in our society due to gender.
Yes, it's very, very political. it's a hoot, as they say.
Yes.
It's been a
if
hit.
If you think you enjoyed the bay window scene.
Who is this thing to which you were referring to?
Everybody tweets at me and says we're a hoot. And,
mostly owls.
Hashtag hoot. Thanks for listening. And all right, so guess
we're sorry.
Well, ending out, we're just gonna talk about what our plan is for premiere week, which I'm sure will not actually happen, but this is our plan. All right, so our plan is, as it stands, is to do 10-minute episodes Monday through Thursday, completely raw and unedited. Because I don't have time for that. So,
and Lord Jesus.
Also, I don't know that I definitely know that all three of us won't be on all of them because I'm working until late on Tuesday, Thursday. So there's that. But
Keith has somewhere to go on a Thursday.
Oh, so you're alone. Have fun.
I'm going to podcast alone on Thursday, apparently. Work that day.
I mean, we could also just do it like when I get off work and just release it a little late.
Could do a double on Thursday.
Yeah, so the plan was Monday through Thursday, 10-minute episodes.
We should release a double-stuffed Oreo episode.
Double-stuffed Oreo.
That's our next giveaway.
Well, that's Friday. Friday is the double whammy Eric episode where we're going to like do an actual full podcast.
I'm so excited.
And then, so, we still don't know if the following week there's new episodes. Do we know this yet? Is there a hiatus?
Oh, I know.
You know.
I know.
So, would you like to share?
I'm not at liberty to disclose that information.
Confirmed. Yeah.
All right, so
we don't know.
We don't know, and it might have, and maybe the smarter thing to do is do podcasts during hiatus seas, but we'll see. I'm really tired. And thank you for listening. Check out our Twitter at GMWPodcast, our blog, GMWPodcast.com, our email, GMWPodcast@gmail.com.
Want
to
fix
that? And YouTube, GMWPodcast.
Nope.
And like us and love us and find us and email us.
Hug us.
And thank you for listening. And as always, dream.
Try.
Do good.
Class dismissed.